Hello, my name is Beverly Chandler, and I'm managing editor of ETF Express. And I welcome you to the latest edition of Off the Record, the podcast about all things ETF brought to you by ETF Express in partnership with TrustEdge, providers of front, middle, and back office software and services to ETF issuers. All views expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own, and we hope suitably controversial. This podcast focuses on the semi-transparent ETF structure, and I'm delighted to be here with Antoinette Kleiser, Managing Director Investor Services for Brown Brothers Harriman, and Terry Norman, founder at Blue Tractor, a provider of a semi-transparent structure. I'm going to start by asking you both to give yourselves a short introduction. So Antoinette, if you'd like to go first, can you tell me a little bit about you and what you do?
Yeah, good morning, Beverly, and thank you. Yes, Antoinette Kleiser, as you said, I am part of the investor services, the ETF product team at Brown Brothers Harriman. I've been with BBH for more than 12 years, working out of their European office in Dublin, but currently, since the start of this year, working here in Boston as part of the global ETF product team.
And then Terry, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, Beverly. Thank you for inviting me. Terry Norman, founder of Blue Tractor and originator of the ideas that underpin the Blue Tractor Shielded Alpha semi-transparent ETF wrapper. Blue Tractor was formed in 2015, and prior to that, I worked at a number of quantitative asset management companies developing alpha strategies and risk models. So Blue Tractor really is a quantitative fintech type company these days. We're one of the six structures that the SEC licensed for the semi-transparent structure in the US.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for that. Antoinette, I'm just going to open by asking if you could give us some context for this whole conversation. When was the semi-transparent ETF structure brought in and where?
Yes, so back in 2019, the SEC voted to adopt Rule 6C11, and this was around permitting ETFs that met kind of certain criteria to come directly to market without the cost and delay of obtaining exemptive relief. And at the same time, they also approved this exemptive relief for non-transparent or semi-transparent active ETFs for specific providers. And the first products were launched, I think, around 2020. And there are two different flavors, I suppose, if you like, of the products that were approved. So you had kind of the non-transparent, which is, you know, one particular active shares Presidian model. And then you have the semi-transparent, which they approved those for five different providers. And some of those providers are actually licensing those structures so that others may launch sort of ETFs or semi-transparent ETFs within that structure.
Could I jump in?
Yeah, sure.
I would say there's three structures rather than two. And each structure can be defined by its creation unit. As Antoinette said, you had the Presidian structure, which sits by itself, which I think most of us would realise is non-transparent. Then you have the structures of Fidelity, T. Rowe, NYSE, etc. And their creation unit is a mixture of substitute securities and some securities that are in the underlying portfolio that are absent the creation unit. So a mismatch. And then you have the Blue Tractor structure, which sits by itself, and every security that's in the underlying portfolio is in our creation basket. There's no omissions, no substitutes. So I would say there's three structures: the non-transparent Presidian, the mixture of decoys and substitutes and omissions of the NYSE Fidelity, and then all the names but different weightings that Blue Tractor offers.
So that would be the way you would differentiate your offering?
That's the way I believe it is naturally to differentiate between the structures by looking at the creation unit.
And tell me, why would an active manager consider using a semi-transparent structure for their ETF?
There's a number of reasons. One, obviously, is investor protection, their wealth from predatory traders who, in the more illiquid segments of the market, will try and front run. And that's to the detriment of the investor himself, because it's his money that's being sort of walked out the door. Then there's the issue of freeloading. You know, these managers, they've spent lots of money, resources developing their investment strategies. And in a fully transparent environment, you're just giving that away to somebody else free of charge. And I don't see the sense in that at all. But I take a view, a lot of these managers who claim to be transparent are really playing with transparency. And that is, if they're really transparent, don't just tell me the portfolio of day. Tell me your target weightings when you're rebalanced. If you've got nothing to fear from predatory traders or anything like that, tell me the weights that you're going to rebalance to. And then as an investor, I can say, well, I'm going to get out of that before he or she gets to that position because I don't like it. That's transparency. In a fully transparent ETF, they don't offer that. So why don't they offer that is the question.
So, Antoinette, give me your view on this in your experience. You know, why would an active manager consider using a semi-transparent structure?
Yeah, obviously I'm not the expert in terms of, but looking at this maybe kind of one step back, I suppose these semi-transparent structures and non-transparent, they make ETFs friendlier to the active managers by removing this daily disclosure requirements. And for all of the reasons just outlined, you know, fears around front running, you know, fears about competitors replicating their strategies. So I think these structures allow them to offer more strategies without exposing their methodology. You know, from the investor's perspective, they actually all about choice. So in the sense that active managers offering more products gives the investor more choice. So I think, you know, they're of a benefit to the investor ultimately in the sense that, as I said, they're getting more choice. So, and, you know, if you look at this globally, you know, this the concern around people's secret sauce, if you like, you know, would make it more attractive for them in terms of having a semi-transparent or a non-transparent model, you know, sort of protecting their IP, if you like.
So it's much lauded that investors, ETF investors, love the transparency of ETFs. But do you both think that's changing as ETFs become more focused on active funds?
I don't believe it is. My attitude really is, you know, an ETF, one of the key attributes to the ETF success story was transparency. So when you go to, you know, the fully non-transparent, I don't believe investors really want that, to be honest. Obviously, you've got the blue tractor structure, which gives all the names, which is great because that is full transparency, really. The semi-transparent ETF structure blue tractor offers is actually more transparent than some fully transparent ETFs. So that's one case, and I believe a lot of investors, you know, they want to know that they own Apple, but do they really care that they own 4% or 3.75%? No, they just want to know the names of what they're exposed to. But, you know, there is a case for, you know, slightly less transparency than what the blue tractor structure offers. And that comes sometimes when you're dealing with non-contemporaneous time zones, okay? You're going to have to use models or substitutes, etc., if you're going to trade in global markets. So, you know, although I'm an advocate of full transparency of the names in an ETF, I recognize when you go global, you do need models and substitutes, etc. So, you know, they have a role in the ETF space as well.
So do you agree with that, Antoinette?
Yeah, you know, I agree that was sort of one of the most attractive characteristics of ETFs is their transparency. But as we said, you know, these structures allow active manager or issuers to sort of get over some of the concerns they have. You know, I think these structures aren't very old. They're only 3 years old and they have gathered assets, but they're still a very small percentage, if you like, of the active ETF market. I think it's about 1.6% of the market. So, you know, I think there's a lot still to play out. I think there's different opinions globally on whether there is a need for semi-transparent products. I know that some of the regulators around the world have looked at this and they have concerns around whether the market makers and APs cannot actually calculate a bid and offer, you know, accurately in the absence of full information. And I know each of these different structures provides the information in different ways. And I think there are other considerations for managers when they're assessing semi-transparent ETFs around, you know, licensing, capital markets, portfolio construction. So, yeah, you know, I think, you know, as we said, ETFs, the attractive characteristic characteristic is transparency, but there are other considerations.
And what does...
Sorry, Beverly, I was just going to jump on. Antoinette makes some really good points there. And, you know, the key point that I picked up from what Antoinette said there was, you know, the size of the semi-transparent ETF market just being 1.6%. It looks like there's, you know, no demand for these structures. But then you've got to recognise the framework within which these structures are working. The regulators in the USA prohibit these structures from entertaining any active strategy that uses international equities, any fixed income, any options. So if you're an investment manager in the US and you have options in your strategy, you can't come to us. You have to go fully transparent if you're converting from a mutual fund into an ETF. If you have Japanese equities, any equities that don't trade contemporaneously with the US, we can't entertain you. So if you imagine, you know, a football field, we've just been given the corner flag to work within. So it's hardly surprising that the size of the semi-transparent market is so small, because we're not allowed to go on a level playing field with fully transparent and, you know, approach managers who do long short, who include options, who include fixed income, who include international equities. So let's hope the regulators actually release those handcuffs, and then we'll see the true comparison, whether the managers want them.
And is there any sign that that's going to happen?
Not at the moment. You know, Blue Tractor has filed for, you know, to push the barriers back, and we filed for a long short, because at the moment, again, one of the restrictions is we can only have long-only strategies. And we're hoping to come to, you know, the end of that, either accept or reject. But, you know, we're waiting for IM, SEC, to get back to us on that. And then, obviously, we want to expand the universe to international equities, fixed income, options.
And can you tell me, what does the offering, because semi-transparent ETF, what does that add to the cost base of an ETF if it's got a semi-transparent structure built in?
We basically charge 4 basis points, but obviously as AUM grows, you know, we have break points there. So it's, I like to look at it, you've got all your valuable possessions in your home. Do you pay a small amount of money for a burglar alarm to protect those assets? Most people do. The same should apply to managers who have individuals' valuable assets under their control. They should be looking to protect them.
And do you think it adds to the returns?
Well, it can. It's particularly in the more illiquid segment of the market. If you're being front-run, you know, there's been a number of papers out, the cost of front running in fully transparent ETFs with index rebalancing. You're talking, you know, anywhere from $8, $10, $12 billion a year. Okay, there's 3 papers that have been estimated, have estimated that, one by Herb Blank, one by a PhD out of Illinois, and one by Index One. They 3 of them done analysis, and those were the costs that they came up with. So it's a big business. And make no mistake, there's desks in most houses that are looking to second guess what securities are going in the index, coming out. And if they're doing that there and they can see the same on an active fund, why won't they be doing that there as well?
Do you want to comment on that, Antoinette?
Yeah, maybe just a few points. I suppose, you know, there are a number of structures, as we said, in terms of in this semi-transparent, non-transparent. So in terms of, you know, additional costs, it probably varies per structure. You know, some, you know, the appointment of an AP representative in the Presidian Active Shares model, the additional cost of creating the proxy portfolio daily in the semi-transparent, licensing fees to be able to use these, the cost of, you know, INAV. So there are additional costs over and above those for a standard ETF. So it may be, and you know, this point was just made really, that net expense ratios tend to be perhaps a little bit higher. In terms of the returns available, you know, I think there's 2 ways to look at it, in the sense that preserving the trading knowledge and protecting it against front running, you know, is to the shareholders' benefit. But, you know, I think it's more about, and we've said this before, about choice for investors and it's and distribution for the issuer. So, you know, I think over the last few years, we've seen flows on a global basis, sort of out of mutual funds and into ETFs. And active managers are realizing they need to have their strategies available in an ETF wrapper. So this may be an attractive way to enter the ETF market when it kind of protects some of the things that they, you know, are concerned about. So, you know, I think there's, as I said, there's pluses and minuses.
So the sort of phenomenon of this year has been this huge growth in active management within ETFs. And you think that the semi-transparent structure might benefit from that? I'm guessing, Terry, you do. Would you see that?
Well, it will benefit from it. But the size of the benefit comes from, you know, how much of the space we can play within. We're still, you know, on this postage stamp. And there's all these, you know, we get continual calls from managers. Can you do long short? No. Can you include options? No. So there is no alternate for them. And the interesting thing, and BlueTracts is the only structure that can offer this, we can offer what we call flexible transparency. So the manager can be fully transparent every day, just like a fully transparent ETF. But when it comes to rebalancing, he can turn the opacity up to stop the predatory traders. Once he's rebalanced the portfolio, he can turn it down, go fully essentially transparent again. No other structure can do that.
And then just looking geographically, obviously we've been talking about the US market. Are we going to see semi-transparent structures elsewhere?
Not in the near term, I don't believe. But, you know, in other jurisdictions, they are using, you know, take Australia, for instance, they use material portfolio information. They issue a basket. It's not a semi-transparent ETF, but they're not fully transparent because they issue a basket similar to the, you know, the models that Fidelity in New York have, where there may be substitutes, etc. But I understand that because obviously you've got non-contemporaneous time zones. You're using models. So if it's domestic, then you don't need these models. But if you're going to go global, then you do need these more flexible type baskets. So I see growth in Australia, Canada as well, you know, have got their own flavour of this. So not all managers want to go 6C11 fully transparent because it ties their hand. If the fund is small to begin with, they may say, well, I've got no issue with this. This is my strategy. But over time, if they're successful and they may wish to adopt the strategy, they're stuck. They can't move from that. They've got to do full transparency every day. Whereas using BlueTracts as flexible transparency, they can be essentially transparent every day if they wish. But if things change, i.e. let's hope AUM grows, they might tailor their investment strategy slightly. They have the option there to go flexible transparency, full transparency, semi-transparency, all in one wrapper.
And Antoinette, do you feel that this is what your clients want?
I suppose from BBH's perspective, you know, we provide custody and fund administration to ETF issuers globally. So we're sort of looking at the ETF issuer side. And the question, if you take it up a level, you know, around, you know, these structures globally. So this formal structure doesn't exist exactly as said outside of the US. But transparency is a question sort of globally, particularly, well, actually, you know, in a lot of different markets are dealing with it in different ways. If you look at Europe, say, for instance, it differs by exchange and by domicile what the portfolio disclosure requirements are. So it's not sort of a formal type of ETF. It's more the disclosure requirements. So, for instance, like in Ireland, you're required to disclose your holdings on a daily basis. You know, I think in Hong Kong, you know, active ETFs and passives have the same portfolio disclosure. So it depends on sort of the area of the world as to what the disclosure requirements are. But these official structures, if you like, are, you know, unique to the US. And in terms of issuers, you know, I think what we've seen is that issuers have become comfortable with the disclosure requirements that are there in the particular markets. You know, it is raised by issuers, particularly active as they're coming in with regulators in terms of, you know, if there's any leeway around this full sort of daily disclosure. But currently, that is the requirement. And as I said, it differs by market and by exchange as to how often you're required to disclose your holdings.
Look, thank you so much, both of you. Terry, do you want to add anything?
No, I think Antoinette summed it up quite nicely there. You know, every jurisdiction has its own requirements at this moment in time, but those may change. You know, which jurisdiction wants to be left behind? If you look at Europe, for instance, in the US, they're semi-transparent. In Canada, Australia, you know, they have these MPIs and other methods. The one that's sort of sitting at base camp and only has fully transparent ETFs is Europe. And in a way, they're being left behind. And that being left behind is restricting investor choice, as Antoinette succinctly put.
Thank you. I'm going to thank you both, Antoinette Kleiser of BBH and Terry Norman of Blue Tractor, for your time today. And thank you to you also for listening. This has been an off-the-record podcast from ETF Express, brought to you in partnership with Truss Edge.
Off the Record is brought to you by ETF Express in partnership with Truss Edge, providers of front, middle and back office software and services to ETF issuers. Production by Imogen Rostron and Lisa Hines, and music by Otto Balfour. Thank you to our guests on this episode of Off the Record from ETF Express, and to you for listening. We look forward to you joining us next time.